expose progressive talk.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. Say cheese in Iowa.
Would you like a picture?
Yeah. Michelle Bachmann posing for photos with fans in early Iowa. Bachmann, who won the Iowa straw poll, now finds herself at the back of the pack, but she's confident of her supporters.
Iowa's a very different state. It's a caucus state. It's a homegrown state, and it's the homegrown voices that will speak.
Pressure's mounting on the GOP candidates just days before Republicans meet in their caucuses, and Newt Gingrich got a little teary when talking about an issue close to his heart.
My whole emphasis on brain science comes in directly from dealing from dealing with, you know, the real problems of real people in my family.
Gingrich's surge has fallen flat, and Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, and Rick Santorum seem poised to do well on Tuesday night. Congress and the president had a big brawl over the debt limit last summer, but it looks like they're trying to work out the next increase. CBS's Peter Mayer says President Obama is putting off a request to increase the nation's borrowing authority.
This decision comes just hours before the president was set to seek a more than $1 trillion increase in the nation's debt limit. The action is required when the government's within $100 billion of its current borrowing power. Congressional leaders asked for the delay so members could weigh in on the issue. The president will still make the formal request within days. A senior official with the president here in Hawaii insists the delay will not affect the nation's credit standing. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Honolulu.
Sometimes it seems like phone companies are nickel and diming us to death. CBS's Sam Litzinger says one phone giant's got a lot of people up in arms over a new charge.
Can you hear me now?
Well, I can hear you. And so can the Federal Communications Commission, which says it'll be looking into the new $2 convenience fee Verizon plans to charge customers who make one-time payments using credit or debit cards over the phone or online. This has sparked outrage among many Verizon customers. The FCC says on behalf of American consumers, we're concerned about Verizon's actions and are looking into the matter.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
This is the last day of trading on Wall Street in 2011. Not surprisingly, volumes light since it's a holiday week for a lot of people. Market analyst Jonathan Corpina says it's been a year of ups and downs.
This year has been a grind back and forth and back and forth between growing stability in the United States and this economic woes that's happening in Europe.
Stocks are down at this hour. The Dow is off about 48 points, NASDAQ down 3, and the S&P 500 also down about 3 points. Another celebrity couple has hit the rocks. Singer Katy Perry and actor Russell Brand are getting a divorce. They married a year ago in October. This is CBS News.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
And only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
man. Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Israeli warplanes went on a deadly run on a terrorist target. CBS's Robert Berger has details.
Israel killed the leader of an al-Qaeda-linked Palestinian group in an airstrike in Gaza. Israeli spokesman Mark Regev.
Israel's position is clear. We will act to defend our people.
The Israeli army says the group planned to infiltrate Egypt's Sinai Peninsula to launch terrorist attacks across what used to be a quiet border with Israel. Al-Qaeda has become stronger in Gaza since the Egyptian Revolution. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Marines don't run from a fight, and Lieutenant Colonel Carl Tranker proved it. The 29-year Marine Corps veteran chased two men who stole a gold necklace in Deerfield Beach, Florida, and when he was shot twice, he used his fingers to plug the bullet holes. Two suspects are in custody. Tranker is expected to make a full recovery. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Now at the winter storage event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. Store for details.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
We got things to talk about. Plunk your magic twanger, Froggy. It's the end of the year, for gosh sakes. We'll wrap it up today, that's for sure.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Hey, Billy. Okay, so here's where we go. We got some New Year's music. We have Karen Bealey supposed to be in here in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk to her because they've got a bunch of new stories up on calcosnews.com. You might want to check that. Let me give you a phone number right now so that you have it, because if you've called another radio station when Karen was there, we'd like to hear from you. 786-2578. That's 786-2578. Toll free is 1-866-937-1340. That's 1-866-937-1340. So here we have this great story about the sergeant. The guy goes through Iraq. He goes through Afghanistan, back and forth, back. The guy, oh, my gosh. And then he gets shot three times by some crook that robbed him. You know, and so he was chasing the guy, and then the guy shot him three times. And so you know what he did? He took two of his fingers on his right hand and put them in the bullet holes. Remember I said, though, that he got shot three times? He didn't want to put down his beer.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great weekend.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, and durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonne. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Hello.
Most smokehouse barbecues would knock them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe Barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
It's my turn.
I'm sorry, it's my turn.
I'm here. Karen's here in the studio, so, you know, we're kind of getting talked into what we're going to do. But it's going to be a good day. It's going to be, we got lots of stuff going on. And let me tell you what's going on as far as our birthdays and our happiness and joy and all that kind of stuff, according to the Tribune, which we'll talk about, because now you have to be a member to see the Tribune unless you want to buy one. Our highlight in history: on December 30th in 1936, the United Auto Workers Union staged its first sit-down strike at the General Motors Fisher Body Plant No. 1 in Flint, Michigan. It was on this date, 1940, California's first freeway, the Arroyo Seco Parkway, connecting Los Angeles and Pasadena, was officially opened by Governor Culbert L. Olson. No off-ramps. Then when they decided to put them in, you have to go from 65 miles an hour to 15 miles an hour in 8 feet. So it's exciting to drive on the Pasadena Freeway. 1965, Ferdinand Marcos was inaugurated by his first term as president of the Philippines. 5 years ago, Iraqis awoke to news that Saddam Hussein had been hanged, as dictators go. Born today, Baseball Hall of Famer Sandy Koufax is 76, singer Patti Smith is 65, and golfer Tiger Woods is 36. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it's yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Tim Weisberg, who helps us out with our CalCoastNews.com update at the end of the weekend. It's time for that because Karen Veely's in the studio. I say, hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Glad to have you back. We got together on Wednesday, but lots of stuff's been shaken since Wednesday, so I'm glad Karen had a chance to come back in. First thing we should probably talk about, because it's going to affect us locally big time in a number of ways, is the court eradicated the redevelopment agency thing, basically to steal the money. Back to the state, you know, basically say, okay, here's what we're going to do.
Well, there's two camps here.
Yeah.
And I know we're hearing the camps of, okay, we're not going to be able to do what we were doing.
Yeah.
But what happened was about a year ago, they ordered to start investigating these redevelopment agencies because redevelopment funds were supposed to be specifically used. Time and time again, they found out people were cheating with their redevelopment money. They were required to do a certain amount of low-cost housing for every amount they spent.
Almost no one did it. And I did the amount of low-cost housing. I've been to redevelopment meetings where the locals are going, oh, we're going to have to get to that. We're behind on our housing. In Atascadero, they use it for street lighting and a zoo, which is out of the redevelopment zone. I know of three cities in our area. There was an investigation by the state that found many of the agencies doing wrongdoings. And they said, we want to do more. And I know that three development agencies in our area were turned in to the state and are part of the current investigation. And, for example, there was it was a – do you remember the one in Grover Beach?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I don't really remember what they said. They were going to take the Happy People's Farm and they were going to, you know, redevelop that basically. So that was all this redevelopment thing. It wasn't stated as that, but it was kind of a smoke and mirrors affair that went through redevelopment. But
yeah.
The question is though, what they didn't say what kind of a thing they were going to put on that lot. Were they going to try to put poor, low income rental housing?
The one in Grover Beach was going to be low cost housing. But here's the thing: the city was behind a couple million or whatever in there. In their finances, their budget was short, so the city was going to, with the same people voting, they were going to sell a piece of property to their redevelopment to put low-cost housing in. But it was several attorneys sent over letters saying, this is illegal, you can't do it, you're overcharging, it's a bad piece of property, and you can't use the redevelopment to make money. That's kind of what the state was saying. Redevelopment was supposed to fix blight. It wasn't supposed to be what it has turned into. So they wanted to get rid of it, and they wanted the money to go back into the general fund, schools and police and fire. So when the idea was to disband it, a lot of cities got angry and said, wait a minute, we have to have some way to keep buying in. We're doing a bunch of projects. So the idea was you would pay some money in, and you could continue to get more back. So Grover Beach was planning on doing that. Arroyo Grande was planning on doing that. Paso Robles was planning on doing that. They were all planning on being part of this buyback program where you would get more back. Well, the interesting thing is, and this was, I think, a shock, a lot of the cities, including Arroyo Grande, put money into this legal fight, and they challenged it. And they expected, they were hoping to win. But not only did they not win, and they said, you know, the state absolutely can stop funding redevelopment, they said this buyback-in program is not legal. We're just taking the whole thing out. You can't have the buyback now. So now that the cities took it in, not only do they not get to have regular redevelopment, they can't have it at all. There's no buyback program. That was a major, major issue here.
Now let me give a phone number out and then ask another question. Local number, 786-2578. That's 786-2578. And our toll-free number is 1-866-937-1340. So now let me make sure I understand something. So you're saying the redevelopment funds that came to cities, a portion of it had to be for low-income housing.
Yes.
But how do you know what the percentage is?
It varies from city to city. I've said it in these redevelopment zones where they've had consultants saying, okay, you did this, this, and this. You're required to put this many low-income housing in. You're this far behind. And it seemed like it never got done.
Okay, so here's what we're talking about. I mean, Arroyo Grande has projects. They have the Car Corral public parking lot in the village. You have Tascadero has City Hall repairs. They were using redevelopment money. You have Paso Robles. They were going to use that for new curb ramps on Spring Street in the downtown area, in addition to construction of a new fully accessible restroom in City Park, which, okay, I can buy that for redevelopment.
But see, the if you read redevelopment, that's what the state was saying. You're not using it what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to go in an area and say, this is blighted. We're going to put money into reconstruction of this area. And you're not allowed to do street lights and that type of redoing. It's supposed to be more for blighted buildings and this type of thing. And then you also have to then put some low-cost housing in. And there's some different recommendations. But it was just really abused statewide to start with. And there are as many opponents, or maybe even more opponents, they may not be as vocal as the cities, that are saying, this has been a misuse of money. It's been funneled to developers that city employees liked. It's been funneled for projects when the major issues that it was supposed to be fixing are not done. Again, it went to the zoo and Atascadero monies went to the zoo. The zoo's not even in the redevelopment zone.
Plus, they're in low income, those people there, but they have plenty of services.
But it was time and time again. I used to receive tips on redevelopment consistently saying, okay, this is wrong. Remember when Kelly Gearhart wanted that man's gas station?
Right.
In Itasca. This happened back in 2005. So he got the redevelopment agency to claim that it was blighted and try to get it, and he had plans for it. They actually had a drawing of what Kelly wanted to put on that property in the redevelopment agency over the director's desk. It was hysterical. And, you know, who was going to come out on top on that one? Kelly Gearhart. And they, you know, they did. So there was a lot of things with redevelopment that didn't pass the smell test to start with. And I still think there's some ongoing investigations. And, again, I know of three local cities that were added to the investigation report. I know of an ex-mayor that told me he found some things and turned it in. They said they were looking into that city. I know Atascadero, I think. And Pismo doesn't even want it anymore. There were some allegations of things with Pismo quite a while ago. But Pismo has done such an unusually fabulous job of controlling financing that it is, bar none, the most financially solid city in San Luis Obispo County. It's so far above the rest, it's not even in the same running. The amount of money they have coming in to what they put out, the city is doing fabulous. And it's the only city that I think it even, there's no one else in this entire county close to Pismo. They don't even want the redevelopment anymore.
Well, they showed, I saw where the one of the things in the Atascadero had to do where the Galaxy Theater was, and they were going to do something outside of the Galaxy Theater. Now, it certainly wasn't going to be low-income housing they were going to do outside the Galaxy Theater. They were just going to try to make the area look better. Now, then you get into this subjective thing about, what's a blighted area. If you look at the fenced-off area by the Galaxy Theaters, I suppose you could say, well, that's blighted-looking. But, you know, at the same time, somebody else could buy it, a developer could buy it and stick something on it, and it would unblight it.
And I think there's a different, other than just being a fenced-in area that you're looking at developing, I think blighted has to be kind of a, you know, where it's run down.
Kind of like the old Juvie Hall in San Luis Obispo.
A rundown, yeah.
But actually, you know, that's interesting because Transitions is looking into doing something with that. Now, that would have been a totally qualified project for redevelopment money, you know, to take the old Juvie Hall back behind General Hospital, you know, that's all shot, and say, okay, we're going to redo this thing and they could offer it as a clinic to low-income people, but they were also just going to do it for, I think, rehabilitative services. But now that's shot. I mean, that's if they had it shot or were hoping for any of that money, that's gone away.
And it's still taxpayer money. It's that the money is going to be going back into schools and other issues. But there is so many allegations of misdeeds with redevelopment. And it's only, what has it been, 30 years maybe? This hasn't been, you know, a big part of our history. Now, the other interesting thing is the same people that promoted taking this to the court, having the court say, you know, what they had done was not legal. And again, they lost their buyback program, which was, I think that was the biggest shock. They now are hoping the legislator will come back in and say, wait a minute, we wanted a buyback program and we've got to do something else. But the court just ruled the buyback program wasn't legal. I personally don't think the legislator is suddenly going to go in and try to make some law to circumvent the courts.
I doubt it myself. I don't think so either. Well, the other thing, too, is the state's doing so bad that any excuse to get money back and say, okay, now we can do something with the budget with this money, they're going to say, we'll take it. I can't see where in the million years, once they have a way to get it back, they're going to say, let's dish it out again.
And on this one, I know this is a hard thing for people to get their teeth around. I looked at two or three different news stories on this since it came out yesterday. And the LA Times did a fabulous story. But a lot of the stories were just so inaccurate. It's going to be less money saved for the state because the buyback program isn't in. I'm sorry, if you're paying $300,000 to get $1 million and the state doesn't have to give you that extra $700,000, the state's going to make more money, not less, by getting rid of the buyback program.
Right.
That was an inaccurate, I don't know how they were thinking about that, but that isn't, a real solid comment. The other thing that, then you had the thing about the legislature. You had a number of things being put out about the redevelopment that are absolutely... Oh, I know. I read another one that said the funding for all the projects that are already started is already in. No, they were told almost, 8 months ago that this was stopped. They were hoping that it would go through. Redevelopment agencies, I think, are all supposed to be shut down by about March. There, you know, some things that are already almost finished, but things that are planned that have not been started and are not funded, I do not see those getting done.
Okay, we show, on your report, we show that we have $4.5 million with the next year alone. Several projects may be in jeopardy. This is redevelopment by this county. Do you know what the total was for the state?
I don't know the exact total for the state. I know they're thinking they're going to bring, they'll make an extra $1.7 billion, I think. So it's probably.
I've seen a couple of different numbers, but in every case it was over $1 billion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's very interesting. Very interesting stuff.
But it's going to be interesting how they find the money, because some of these things they have to. And again, it's supposed to be going for blighted. What they're doing in Paso, they got sued by somebody that had trouble on the sidewalk, and they were told that they had to fix their gutters and curbs. So there's some interesting issues.
It sort of reminds me. You know, it sort of reminds me of it. And I think it has a similarity to it. It's. I don't know if it's just hard not to, when you're a municipality. I don't know if it's just hard not to abuse things, because it's, you get money and you go, okay, well, we can do this. Maybe the temptation is too great, but it reminds me of the Homeland Security money that police agencies get. And what they decide to spend it on.
Oh, yeah.
And in the real world, are they going to do, is there anything that they're doing that's going to make a bit of difference to what terrorists are doing around the world? And I would say no. That, you know, it's nice to have extra stuff, but, you know, the terrorists aren't planning to mass in an army and all of a sudden charge, you know what I'm saying? You know, San Luis Obispo, California, or Pismo Beach, or any place else.
Oh, it's like they've got a Viper here. They've got there's somewhere in North Dakota that the town is so well armed using federal funds, and they all, you hear time and time again, if we don't use it, we're going to lose it, we won't get it next time. Well, you don't need it. It's like hoarders. Oh, I can buy and I can have all this, but in the long run it takes away from the taxpayer. There's a limited amount of funds here,
right?
You know, and it's the same back to the county and city government. Look at the county when they redid their finances recently. And they voted out health care at a time that people are desperate and people are unemployed. And they added money to the planning department when there's nothing going through planning.
Now, do you know about how many people will... now, this is the sad part of this, though, quite frankly, is, and that's people losing their jobs, which we don't need on the Central Coast, of course, to have more people lose their jobs. But do you know how many people are involved in...
I don't know how many people will lose their jobs. But again, on the Central Coast, I think we're right about 23% government employees. And... there are economists that say that you've got to get the amount of government employees down. You've got to get people. The government doesn't make anything. The government doesn't generate their own money. They don't sell anything. They use taxpayer monies from other businesses. So would it be better to have less government and to not have 23-25% government employees and to have more people going into the private sector? Would that be better for the economy? And that is a question. Do we want to keep employment up by having it through the government sector?
Well, no, you're right. I mean, that's not really an argument, because the government doesn't generate money. The only way the government generates money is to have inmates bang out license plates and then sell them to you for, you know, $60 a holler or when you buy a new car.
I think that's a loss.
Probably.
The amount of money
keeps the guy in it. But I'm just saying that, you know, no, you're right. Anytime you add government, you add non-producing people to a payroll. And so the people that are producing have to pay for the people that are in government, you know, but they're not producing income of their own. I don't know how anyone would not imagine that. But we get into this thing where that now you get into I hate the word, this word, because it just annoys me, because it's been misused so badly, as the word entitlement. But there are people that are entitled to certain things and programs and things that exist, and they don't abuse them, and it's, you know, it's all legitimate. So then you say, okay, well, what are you also going to, when you're throwing out the baby, when you're throwing out the bathwater, what baby's going with it? You know, if you say, okay, we're going to cut back on government employment, all of us assume that you could cut back on government employment. We just all assume that it must be doable, you know. But to what extent is it doable? And that's what I want somebody to say to me, is say, okay, you know what, we can cut out 10% of government employment and still provide the same services that are required, you know, for the state of California, and with nothing special going on, and say, okay, then if that's doable, I think as a state we should probably look into doing that. But if nobody can give me a number, if nobody gives me a number and says, okay, we're just going to assume that we have too many state employees, we have too many county employees, we have too many city employees, we have too much of this, and somebody just says that, I want to go, okay, by how much? You know, I mean, so there has to be a determining factor in that, and when you, if you're going to say, well, we have too much of it, how, you know, to what degree do we have too much of it? So if they say 25%, let's say 25%, just for them rounded off, let's say 25% of the employees are government employees. What's the percentage number that would be of the best working number?
And that I don't know. And I think it's going to vary from area to area. We're going to have more government employees in San Luis Obispo County because, A, we have a university here. We're a small community with a university, government employees.
We got a men's colony. We got the Atascadero State Hospital.
Yeah.
You know, you if you look back, if I think back when I came here 35 years ago, the percentage of government employees was tremendously more than, you know, 25%. I mean, I think it, over half the people in San Luis Obispo County work for the government in one way or the other. And the interesting thing of that was we were sort of, because of that, some of the recessions that hit other areas, we were sort of recession-proof for a long time. You know,
yeah.
We just were recessions, you know, the people in the general public were not making money to be, you know, we were retailers, retail and service. That's all we had was retail and service, period. That's what we had. And so none of us were making any money in retail and service. So, it really didn't affect us because we had such a strong economic base because of government employment. Well, as we've diversified and grown as a community, as a county, as a everything, then that started to change a lot.
And I do agree that it's changing, but it's I find it hard to have too many. When you have so many government employees, it does change how you are affected. But San Luis Obispo County, Monterey County, and Santa Barbara County, that region, is considered the biggest fall in income in the state of California since 2007. We've had the biggest fall. I think we've had 27% lowering of income per family. And California leads the nation in lowering income. And our area leads California, so we lead the nation in falling income. And that might be why. It might be the large number of government employees that we have right now.
It may not even be the number. Maybe what we're also looking at is not just the number. We may have the exact right number of people to run, but if they're being paid disproportionately to, you know, what the county can produce, you know, for instance, then that becomes the problem. You know, because they then all that depends on the people that are making money in the county to support it. And so we look at some of these retirements and some of these things that are going on, and this is, I think, part of the huge problem we're having.
And, I do see some things in government. One of my pet peeves is public relations personnel. When you have a question to ask and you call an agency and you can call someone in the agency, and by law the press is not better or worse than the public. I don't have more rights than you, and I don't have less rights than you. Than the general public, I'm allowed to walk into an agency and ask a question just like you are legally. But that doesn't happen anymore. If they know you're press, they won't tell you. Oh, we're not allowed to talk to the press. So you have to, for example, I called the Department of Real Estate once and I asked a question without saying I was press. I got put into the investigator. She talked to me for about 15 minutes, told me all this stuff. So then I had an idea what was going on. So then I did, and I called to not get the woman in trouble. I called the PR department. The person is clueless. It's someone that's whole job is to make things look good. She came back to me with a completely different story. When I told her, I said, I've already talked to the investigator. I know this is what happened. She said, you go behind our backs again, and we won't talk to you again.
So here, you've made it harder for Bill Benica. People used to. I used to be able to call and say, this is Bill Benica, and they go, okay, Bill doesn't usually have an axe to grind, so we're going to go ahead and I usually wanted to just say, understand the situation.
Yeah.
You know? So then, but now, if I say I'm Bill Benica, or I say I'm from KYNS, I'm with you, they shuffle me off to somebody in nowhere's.
How much money, how many taxpayer dollars, the amount of people doing PR and cover-up, look at Cal Poly. They've now got Chip Vishy running the whole PR department. And when you call in there, you're very likely to get an answer that is provably false. I mean, I remember I called the PR person once for the engineering department. And I'd already gotten the paperwork. Someone from the department had downloaded the budget. They were in the red. And I talked to her, and she admitted to it. And then Stacey Momberg called me back and said she was wrong. They're in the black, and they've never been in the red. And I said, but Stacia, I've got it in front of me. I've been told by administrators that we are not in the red. This is ridiculous. How much are we spending, you know, millions and millions of dollars in the state? I bet we're spending billions on public relations personnel.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I brought this up earlier this week because I called the DMV because of the idea that, you know, these states are trying to pass voting laws. So I called the DMV and got operator 277, and we had a very nice conversation. But I did tell him, I said, you know, this, I work for a radio station. I'm trying to get some information. So he was helpful. He gave me any other information he gives anybody else, but said if there's, you know, there's anything else you need to know, at some point I'm going to have to give you a number for somebody else, which is obviously public relations.
Yeah.
And I said towards the end, I said, well, no, you pretty much answered my question, so that's fine. So then I asked them another thing, because the Highway Patrol, when I asked the Highway Patrol, they were confused. I have to tell you the truth. They were confused. But anyway, so here's what it was. You know, it's how old do you have to be to sit in a front seat? What age or weight or height or what do you have to be to sit in a front seat? So now they decided, they finally simplified this, and let me tell you, this was not out there as general information. It was not. Right. I looked in the DMV handbook from one cover to the other cover. It said nothing about it. It was, until January 1st, 6 or 60. You have to be 6 years old or 60 pounds to not be in a booster seat, to not be in a booster seat. Now it's going to be under 8 or 80 to not be in a booster
4.9.
seat.
4.9. It's not even 80. I think it's 4.9 inches tall. They're doing it on height now, aren't they?
Well, they can do it on height. But here's the interesting thing. Is I said to the guy, and he said it's 6 or 60, and I said, you know that's going up January 1st. And he said, oh, no, it's 6 or 60. Well, he was wrong. And he's the guy answering questions for the DMV.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And I find it terrible that some kid that comes up to, you know, some kid that's up to my shoulder has to sit there in a booster seat and be taller than the adults in the car. It's ridiculous. I find. I think the whole thing is a little bit of overkill.
All right, I'll tell
and
you what.
Tell some poor 7-year-old that's, you know, can you imagine you're a parent and your kid's been out of a booster seat for 2 years, you got to go buy a booster seat, the amount of money that's going to be spent. I just find it kind of...
It's weird. And here's the other thing, too. What this gets down to, again, it gets into this very subjective thing that, you know, you can make a law and say, okay, this is a good law because this is what we think it's going to do. But here's the situation I said. You know, I have probably one of the first cars, because my car is old enough, that had if a person that's under whatever the heck it is, I don't know what makes the light go on or off, what number, I would say if they're under about 50 pounds or something, the airbag goes off. You know, there's a light that comes on that says the airbag's not operating. And that's because they found out that kids that were too short and too light were getting hurt by the airbags as opposed to being helped by them. So now you have a, you know, you threw this number out about height and all that. Well, this is a recommendation. This is not the law. The law will be 8 or 80. That will be the law, 8 years old or 80 pounds. The suggestion for height is a suggestion. So you're not going to get a CHP guy pull the kid out and measure him. They're not going to do that. Right. But what they're saying is you should know this about, you know.
Are they going to have scales in their cars?
I don't know. I
Let's
don't
pull
know.
The scale out. I swear my kid weighs 80 pounds. And now are they going to start giving kids IDs? That's the other thing. I could see a parent going, say you're 9, say you're 8, say you're 8. They get out. Give me a kid ID. Do you have to take your kid's birth certificates? I mean, I find this, and I can imagine some parent. Can you imagine if you have 3 or 4 kids and those booster seats are clunky?
Yeah. But I think, you know, I'm not going to say everybody obeys the law because we can all drive down the street and know who is not obeying the law. But I think that most parents, because they're interested in preserving their child, you know, I think they pretty much try to adhere to, you know, what they can do that's safe for their kids. But now you're right, this retro, you know, to go backwards now and say a kid that's now under 8 as opposed to under 6 has to have a booster seat. That's raising a little bit of havoc with families.
And kids are talking about the embarrassing factor.
Well, sure, yeah. Sure
I have a grandson at 6, and he was sitting there going, this is going to be humiliating. I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to get back in a booster seat. I'm too old.
We're going to take a break, come back with Karen Vealey from CalCoastNews.com. Phone numbers once again, 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340.
Thank you. down here. Now don't burn your Christmas tree and pollute the air. Recycle it. Just cut it into 4-foot or smaller pieces. Yeah, yeah, my size or less. And just stuff it in your green waste container for free pickup. It'll go to good use as mulch or reindeer food or something. And don't forget to remove all the tinsel and decorations. And please, no fake or flock trees. For more information on Christmas tree recycling, call your local garbage collection company and have a happy new year. Any more jokes about my height and I'll punch you in the knee.
Happy holidays and a happy new year from your neighbors and friends at H&R Block. No matter how you and your family choose to celebrate the holiday season, there's one common thread that runs through all celebrations, and that's the love of family and community. Let's enjoy these times that we have together. Your friends at H&R Block share in that spirit, and they hope to serve you in the coming year. So happy holidays and a happy new year from your friends at H&R Block.
As we run around this Christmas season buying presents and spending time with our family and friends, Cafe Runner wants to remind you why we celebrate Christmas each year. Over 2,000 years ago, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem to spread peace and goodwill toward all men. The message is needed to be heard today more than ever. And as we enjoy our holiday with our friends and family, let us not forget to reflect the real reason for the season. Cafe Runner wishes all their customers of today and the future a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. During this holiday season, Couch Potato hope you and your family enjoy the holidays the way it was meant to be celebrated, together with your loved ones. During these tough and crazy times, family is one thing you can depend on. They know that at Couch Potato, and that is why Couch Potato considers all their customers as part of their extended family and know you can count on them for all your furniture needs. And they want to thank all their customers for a great year. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and let's make it a good one from Couch Potato. Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
No one chooses to be sick or injured, but you can choose where to get help. Take MR imaging, for example. San Luis Diagnostic Center now offers their brand new 3-tesla ultra-high-field open MRI, the only system of its kind in California and one of three in the United States. If you're claustrophobic, it's not a problem. With their new Siemens Skyra scanner, it has the largest opening available. Plus, it has the best quality images and shortest scan times. That's right. Shortest scan times, largest capacity opening, and image quality unequaled by any other scanner. San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art technology. So when you need an MRI, take control of your health care. Ask your doctor to send you to San Luis Diagnostic Center for their ultra-high-field, state-of-the-art open magnet. The choice is yours. Call 542-9700. All major insurances accepted.
Phone numbers once again, 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. This is 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo. Our year news station, Karen Vealey's with me from CalCoastNews.com for this Friday. And we're talking about what's going on. Here was a here's two nitwit kids that decided to be nitwits, and they're going to pay. Mom and Dad are going to be in big trouble with this one. Two alleged arsonists were arrested in Pismo Beach yesterday for setting 24 small fires.
And they had several fire departments out there running around putting them out, and then they had the sheriff department and the Pismo PD running around trying to catch them. And I guess they caught an adult and a juvenile setting these fires.
So they were just flipping matches and running to the next spot and flipping matches? And
yeah, between James Way and what was the other, Old Oak Park.
Yeah, Old Oak Park.
But they were going to wooded areas or, you know, woodland areas and just setting little fires everywhere, trying to be obnoxious. That's a felony. You know, arson's a pretty big issue.
Big deal. Yeah, no kidding. You know, I won't get into a story I can share. Okay, let's talk about community college changes on the horizon. As we know, a lot of things have changed out of Cuesta, and things are a little bit shaky out there. California's public education system has been a world-class model forever. Gradual overloading and budget restraints have gutted the once-proud model, and that, in turn, is opening the door for enterprising private-for-profit colleges. Minishop Attorney for inexpensive publicly supported upper level education has the potential for creating major problems, according to some. Now, here's what's interesting, you know, with that. You do see more online colleges, right? For, you know, you see online universities now. You see quite a few of those where they didn't exist hardly ever before.
And a lot of universities have some online classes, but I think some things are very hard to do that way.
Hard to do a lab that way, I can tell you that.
It would be. But I know, I think Davis, California State University Davis, is offering a teacher program completely online right now, bachelor's in teaching. So there are some, almost all schools have some classes that you can take online. But there are some completely online, which I think can be problematic at times. Because how do you know who's taking a class?
You know what? I mean, but here's the thing. Here's the reality of it. I mean, it's not hard to understand. We had this wonderful public education system in the state of California when we had money to have it. And now we don't have money to have it. And so it can't magically be there anymore. It just can't. There's just not enough dough. So, you know, the kids are paying more and more and more and more. The thing that concerns me more than that is the fact that as they start to reduce class sizes and things like that and eliminate classes, this is the bigger problem to me, because then you have kids that they can't get done in 4 years.
Absolutely.
And so then they have to, you know, poly was hard to get done in 4 years for a lot of people anyway.
I'm going to have to give another side to this, though. At Cal Poly, the amount of money being spent right now, I think there's been a 60% increase in administrative costs. So, you know, they've got all these PR people, they've got all these administrators. But their cost per teachers and their larger class sizes, the cost per student, if you're not talking the administration, is about the same. The problem is that the administration is fattened up massively, the amount of people in administration and the amount of salaries. There are many that say the argument with the union over there is this is a problem with where the money is going. The other issue is it has shown that areas with public education, low-cost public education, usually have higher incomes and more production of becoming a more productive society. For example, I think it was about 20 years ago when Ireland, which was one of the poorest countries in Europe at the time, said, we're going to have free education, we're going to focus on science and math, we're going to do this, 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 and this, we're going to try to get everybody to do higher education. They became one of the most successful, financially successful countries in Europe with their plan. And they went from the bottom to very close to the top in a very short amount of time by having an educated population, and a lot of their money was then made in technology sales. So there is a reason to have low-cost education.
Well, sure, and this is the, you know, the idea behind the DREAM Act, really, is to say, okay, we put these kids through high school. They're not here of their own accord. They were dragged here by mom and dad, and so into this country at heavens knows what age. You know, they could have been little babies. And so now we've paid to put them through high school. Why would we deny them a college education when they'll stay in California, hopefully anyway, and most probably, and then contribute to the economy of California? And I have to say, to me, that's a no-brainer with these kids. You know, that it just makes sense to do that. Of course, the problem is that then you go, you take the next leap and say, okay, they can get some scholarship money and all that. But, you know, what's really worrying people now, younger people are getting out of college, is, you know, they're staring at $100,000 worth of educational debt, you know, when they get done. And the way the job market is right now, it completely sucks. And so, you know, it's become, they say, you know, it still pays off in the long run to make sure you have a college education.
Yeah.
The problem is the long run is a long run now because, you know, if you get out of school and there's not a dang job to take, you know, and you're sitting there for two or three years trying to get employment, you know, then all of a sudden this whole equation starts to get a little bit shaky.
But again, the union is claiming if they would cut back on administrators, cut back on the fat and salaries on the upper level, and go back to having the money go into the education as opposed to running the colleges. But the other issue right now that's been a big issue over the last couple of weeks is the number of foreign students coming in. A lot of the schools have made it harder if you live in an area and taxpayers pay for the schools to get in. I think 41% at Cal Poly of the money they use is from taxpayers. Local students cannot get into the UCs anymore in the numbers that they used to because they have raised, I think it's up 20% or something, and I'm probably wrong on my numbers, Chinese students and foreign students, mostly from China.
Well, plus out-of-state students. They get more money from out-of-state students, so they're just saying, okay, we're going to cut California enrollment back, you know, from graduates in California, and say, here, these people have to pay more money. It pays us in the long run. And then to say, here we have in the same breath almost to say, well, we should cut back on administrative costs and do all that kind of stuff, and here we just hired Jeffrey Armstrong for more money than we were paying Warren Baker.
He was doing okay.
You know, so it's just absurd, sort of how this thing's going. You know, and this kind of activity is to me what the Occupy movement's sort of saying also. You know,
yes.
It's not just aimed at the richest people in America. It's aimed at this bloated, top-heavy thing we have in administration that we're all paying for. I'm not going to disagree with them. I think it's you know, it's craziness.
And the school thing, I think there's so many people getting angry right now. And the schools keep saying, well, we're only getting 41%. Now, you're getting 41% of your operating costs from the taxpayers. Parents want their students that are straight-A students and do good on their SATs to be able to get into the school before children from China.
Sure.
And
sure.
So there is a lot of anger right now.
Well, then you got the whole new gym thing going on. I haven't been here forever, but I was here when they did the last new gym and pool. You know, and it's kind of like, what are you doing? I mean, how often do you have to replace the darn thing? Does the water get dirty and buy a new pool, or how's it work? I don't know.
Have you ever been in the old gym?
You sure, in Mott. Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, and so, you know, it's nice. But here's the weird part about it. Maybe does the size depend on how many people show up, or does the team depend on how many people show up? Because when I first came here and Mott Gym was more than enough for the basketball games were being played, I'm sad to say. But that changed a whole lot, and a lot of people are much more into Cal Poly sports now than they were before. Let's do this. Oh, you know what? Here was a thing that came up in the news, and it was fascinating to me because I don't know if I told you this. I was at a gas station. I was getting gas, and here were these guys with guns on their hips, you know, and they were checking gas pumps. And I was like, so I said, does the Bureau of Weights and Measures carry guns? Do they have to carry? You have to carry guns now? No, we're not from the Bureau of Weights and Measures. I go, oh, I ask where you're from, and they say we're cops. I said, oh, okay. At that moment, I was baffled by why that was, and that was when they had the thefts. The people put those ID card readers in there.
Oh, that's what they.
Well, here somebody was robbing the B of A on Los Osos Valley Road in Los Osos. The ones in the bank are designed that if somebody tries to put a doodah in there, it automatically shuts itself off, which I thought was very interesting. And we have somebody on the phone, so let's get to him. Hello.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, a couple of things. I know that the teachers at the universities are saying that the people at the top, there's too much fat at the top, and it's probably true. But as far as the teachers at the universities, there was a recent study by the teachers themselves discovering that in the major universities of the top classes and stuff, that most of the teachers were actually not teaching the classes, and for what they were getting per class that they were actually at teaching, that they were making among the most of anybody, executives and so forth, for their hourly time that they were actually there. So
you're saying
a lot of
there.
These universities, they'll turn around and they'll get somebody that's a big name, and they'll pay them a high price to be able to use their name and stuff. And then they'll pay them just basically to keep publishing in periodicals and whatever for the prestige of being there.
I can see where that would happen. But you remember when Jeffrey Armstrong was hired as the new president? And
I'm not saying that they're not overly paid. I think that they are, and I think that what Karen was saying about how that they've increased their amounts while keeping the faculty at about the same, and it's probably the entrance faculty and people along that line. But, we've had so many people that have run for city council or have run for supervisors or whatever, and what were they? They were college university teachers over at Cal Poly, and along with complaining about how that the that rentals for their houses that they own were going to shams because too many kids and this and that. Well, I'm looking at both of those things and saying, well, that doesn't sound like a poor teacher to me.
This sounds a lot like I hear Alan Settle's name in the back of this particular comment you're making. But I understand what you're saying.
Settle's now, but look at the others before.
Sure.
Others before that have run and stuff. And I don't know about you, Bill, but I can't take a year off from my job to be able to run for any public office.
And I wouldn't.
And I don't know if they take a year off. I think, for example, Adam Hill was an English professor, and I don't think he was tenured. But he just he received a job as supervisor with a big increase in pay and went to be a politician as opposed to a teacher.
Okay, but there's Adam Hill doesn't have any other properties besides the one that he's living in and this kind of stuff.
He doesn't own his home. He doesn't own it.
This was a survey that was done nationally, and it was done by the teachers themselves, and that's where they were finding out that teachers' assistants were teaching the majority of these classes at universities like Stanford, Berkeley, Notre Dame, all the Big East schools, Ohio State, all these different schools. And it was just as bad as it is when they're complaining about the coaches that are getting too much money. These folks were getting a lot of bucks for not doing their job.
And here we don't do the... At Cal Poly right now, they do not have student teachers. We don't have a master's program. We don't have a doctorate program. They do have a master's program. They don't have a doctorate program. They do not have students teaching classes for professors. So it isn't something that is occurring in our area, but there are. I'm talking the allegations I have to do with the California State University system, and the teachers have had some raises, but their class sizes have grown substantially.
Well, don't forget also President Armstrong has now made it possible for $750,000 to have the French Hospital Cal Poly Mustangs playing tournament. So that's exciting. Mike, we've got to cut you off because we've got to run out of time here and do the news.
Okay, have a great New Year.
Happy New
folks.
Year, Mike. I appreciate it. All right, Karen, we got great things coming up in the new year, I'm sure, because you're just a busy, busy lady. So we'll have Karen Vealy back on next Friday, as a matter of fact. Hope you'll join us then.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The grind of a presidential campaign can make a grown man cry. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich got a little teary in Iowa today when he was talking about brain science and his mother's battle with bipolar disorder.
What moment do you think of when you think of your mom?
Well, first of all, you'll get me all teary-eyed. First of all, I'll tell you, I get teary-eyed every time we send Christmas cards.
The candidates are out in full force in Iowa with precious little time left to campaign before Tuesday's caucuses. Rick Santorum, who's visited all 99 counties, likened himself to a Republican icon.
And now we have a Republican presidential candidate who can do what Ronald Reagan did. Get those Reagan Democrats back into the fold, win those states, and sweep Barack Obama way out of Washington, D.C.
Santorum, Ron Paul, and Mitt Romney are all expected to do well in the caucuses. President Obama had been expected to formally ask for a $1.2 trillion increase in the nation's debt limit today, but he says he's agreed to congressional leaders' request for a delay. University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato doesn't expect the kind of fight we saw last summer.
This is just an unpleasant echo of the awful August debt fight. It's already a done deal that the debt limit will increase by another $1.2 trillion.
The latest increase in the nation's borrowing authority should be enough through the end of next year. That's believed to be the sound of gunfire in Douma, Syria. There are reports government forces fired on protesters in a number of cities today, killing at least 19 people. Stephen Hagerman with the U.S. Institute of Peace says Arab League observers are even in the country.
I think we really have to conclude that this mission is not going to make a meaningful difference in how this government behaves.
A massive investigation is underway, but Los Angeles authorities are worried about a new round of arson fires. KNX reporter Pete Demetriou says someone set more than a dozen fires in cars.
19 separate arson fires in a 2-square-mile area bordering Hollywood and West Hollywood. It has L.A. fire units, both the city and county of Los Angeles, chasing their tails. The LAPD went on tactical alert, and they've got more arson investigators on this thing than they have on any major fire incident in years.
The fire spread to nearby homes and apartments, forcing many people to evacuate. Wall Street has just closed up shop for 2011. Stocks mostly lost ground on the day, but the Dow remained over 12,000 for the year. The Dow slipped about 52 today. NASDAQ was down 4 and the S&P down 3. Caving into angry customers and a curious FCC, Verizon's decided to drop plans to charge a $2 convenience fee for online or phone payments. This is CBS News.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag, or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. Store details.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identity stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it. Quick, even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
A special guest star got top billing for a political event in New York. CBS's Sam Litzinger with the story.
Normally when a local sheriff gets sworn in, it's important, but not a huge deal.
No, I am the father.
Unless the person doing the swearing-in is actor James Earl Jones, voice of Darth Vader in the Star Wars movie. He was on hand in Poughkeepsie, New York, to swear in his longtime friend and neighbor Butch Anderson to a fourth term as sheriff. Now, typically a judge would handle this, but Jones reminded the audience he's played a judge on screen, so no problem. Besides, who's going to argue with Darth Vader? Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
For a lot of people, it is the place to be on New Year's Eve. New York's Times Square, less than 2 weeks after graduating from the police academy, that's where 1,500 rookie officers will be ringing in 2012. They are just part of the very extensive security arrangements being made for the big party. Pam Poulter, CBS News.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identities stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it. Quick, even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com. I'm talking with Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. How would you define the quality of the scan?
The temporal scanner is the only thermometer that has been rigorously tested by thousands of hospitals with more than 40 peer-reviewed published studies attesting to its accuracy.
What about the value of the product?
The peace of mind from knowing that your family's health is well protected is priceless.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Costco and other fine retailers.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne? Lang syne, my friend, in days of old, lang syne, we'll drink a cup of kindness in days of old, lang syne. Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne?
Talking a little, talking a little, cheeky, cheeky, talk about it. Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age, and it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from, they also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Dun, dun. I sure wish I had Jim D here today, because I don't, because Jimmy had people that were sick and he had to go fill in and, you know, do stuff and everything. So anyway, so Jim's not here today, and he'll be back next week, I hope. But one of the things I want to mention, he's got a brand new movie that starts today, and it's Korosmaki's comedy Le Havre. And there's a write-up for it in the Ticket magazine from yesterday. And anyway, Buster Keaton is his dad. He's alive and well in Finland, where under a new identity, he pursues his own particular brand of deadpan absurdism to wonderful effect. If the name Aki Korosmaki doesn't mean anything to you, it should, and Le Havre may be the film to make it happen. International Festival favorite since at least 1989 is the Match Factory Girl. The Finnish writer-director who won the International Critics Award at the Cannes Film Festival this year has never got much traction. Let's get on to the dang movie, could we? A droll ode to the downtrodden and disopposed, Le Havre joins his unmistakable stylistic flourishes with two things that are relatively new in his repertory, an overt social conscience and a sweet-natured fairy tale sensibility. The story of a ne'er-do-well shoeshiner who gets involved with an on-the-run young African migrant. It's all adheres to this aesthetic expressionlessness. This action. Sorry, that's what's playing, and it sounds interesting. Is this the one that was black and white? Did he say it was going to be black and white? I think it was. So also at the Palm Theater. So let me tell you what's going on. At the Palm, we also have don't forget the Descendants, which is on two screens, and that's with George Clooney, and then also The Way, which is still the one with. Emilio Estevez and his pop. So that's what's going on at the Palm Theater today, so I thought I'd make sure I got it in there. Okay. Famous People 2010, Stop Behaving Badly. Charlie Sheen, I resolve to curb my ego. Kim Kardashian, I resolve to talk to my next husband before we get married. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I resolve to keep it in my pants. And by the way, there's a story in the news that he and Mariva Shriver, maybe, you know, she's saying, what the heck. Hey, what are you going to do with one of these foreign guys? Anyway, Lindsay Lohan, I resolve not to mimic other celebs' bad behaviors. Here we have Gilbert Gottfried, I resolve to realize when something is too soon. Chris Brown, I resolve to count to five and think happy thoughts whenever I'm about to blow my stack. Donald Trump, I resolve to avoid embarrassment. I doubt it. Anthony Weiner, I resolve to share less Weiner in 2012. I can't believe that one. Tracy Morgan, I resolve to keep my homophobia to myself. Gerard Depardieu, I resolve to lay off liquids, especially wine, before flying. And Sam Hurd, I resolve to remember how lucky I was to be a $6 million man. All right, that's what it was right there. This is the guy, Sam Hurd's the guy. Do you know who that is? He's the football player that, you know, had a contract worth $515 million, $5.15 million, and included a $1.3 million signing bonus. And when he went to Chicago Bears, and then he got together with some undercover cops and tried to buy $700 worth of drugs weekly, $700,000 weekly. That's not personal use. Now, I don't know that much about drugs, but I'm sure that that's not personal use. Just from being around, you know what I'm saying? Just hanging around. I'm pretty sure that's not it. Okay, that's that. That was my movie thing for today because I don't have Jim D. There's two. But I hope you see he's having a good time. He's with his crew, and things are cool. All right, let's do this because it's Friday, and when it's Friday, something special's going on at Spencer's Fresh Market. And by gosh, 3 day sale Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 99 cents for Popeye spinach. That's a 10 ounce package. $3.29 a pound for Prairie Fresh Natural Pork Baby Back Ribs. $5.99 each for Tillamook cheese and a 2 pound loaf. Monterey Jack or medium or sharp cheddar. And there's their sharp Tillamook is absolutely excellent. And two for $3, dirty all-natural potato chips, 5 ounce packages, selected varieties. This is apparently a new brand on the market. I hadn't heard of it before. Then here's the Surf and Turf deal. This is the Surf and Turf deal. Now, you may be doing something Sunday on New Year's Eve, but there's tonight, there's tomorrow, there's, you know, nights that aren't New Year's Eve night. And then there's Monday. A lot of people have Monday off. We have Monday off. And so you got the Surfy Turfy. So here you got Spencer's Prime Top Sirloin Steaks for $5.99 a pound. And then Maine Lobster Tails, about a 4 ounce average. They're $5.99 each. You get in there and you get some goodness. All right. Here's some other things that are going on. Foster Farms Fresh Chicken Party Wings, a party favorite for just $2.99 a pound. $2.99 a pound right there. You see, you just go and pick it up. They've got they show the big picture down here, the meat and cheese trays. They got shrimpy trays. They got all that kind of stuff. So they got everything in the whole wide world you need. If you're going to do a ham over the weekend, they have Boar's Head ham glaze for $3.29. And Boar's Head makes some really great stuff besides the meats and cheeses that they have. They have wonderful accompaniments to their stuff. So they have just everything you need for New Year's. They got the Martinellis, they got the champagnes, they got the beers, the sodas, the wines, you name it. They got it. Pepsi Cola, the whole thing. And then tri-tips, $2.99 a pound. As good as tri-tip gets as far as cost. So go to the five Spencer's locations and get yourself something good. And John Spencer would like to wish you a very happy New Year from Morro Bay, Atascadero, Royal Grande, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo. Thanks, John, for being part of Talk is Cheap this year. I appreciate it. All right. Other people and things. Other people and things. Did you see the size of the float we're putting out there? Holy dump truck. The two Cal Polys, Poly Pomona and San Luis, they put out this float every year, and they usually win an award. But let me give you this little statistic right here. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Let me tell you the size of this float, in case you hadn't read there. It's right in front of me. It's 30 feet tall. I thought that was what it was. 30 feet tall and 55 feet long. It's the tallest we've attempted to build in the last 10 years, according to one of the spokespeople. Holy dump truck. 30 feet tall and 55 feet long. And then they show a picture up here, which I guess makes sense. Terminal Rose's inspectors watch a test of the Cal Poly University's float. Now, it doesn't have to be all covered with flowers and everything when they test it, but they have to be there because they got to make sure it's safe and it won't fall on the people or blow up or something like that. So it makes sense, I guess. I've been to a float building place years and years ago when I was with Big Brothers in Los Angeles. We had a float. And so it was interesting to go see what they did and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't see, like, the internal workings of a float. I don't really know what goes on inside. But one of the things that was absolutely fascinating to me was whenever they use flowers per se, like a flower, they would actually use a full, fairly long-stem flower. They cut it. It was all, say, it was a half-stem or something. But anyway, they put it in a vial, and this was the stickiest place in the universe. They would, because apparently it makes them bloom better and last a little bit longer, you know, looking fresh. 7-Up. So they pour 7-Up in all these vials, and then they put a rose in it, and then they'd shove it in styrofoam or whatever they had there. And then it was sticky all over the place. I don't know if the floor ever got in the parade. It might have been stuck to the ground there. I'm not sure. In Iowa, GOP voters are still candidate shopping. And you know what's interesting they're saying this year? And this could be because, you know, when you say how much substance does a man have, how much substance does a candidate have, basically when it comes down to push and shove and we watch what goes on in Washington, usually not much. Now, that's not really usually an issue. It doesn't come up that much. So they're saying that what they're going to be, people are going to be voting on is personality. You know, if there's a person have a personality they like. So think about the lineup. Think about the personalities. And think about who you'd like to have a beer with. Okay. Other things going on that are happening, I think. No relief in sight for the dry month. You know, next week, it's from now until through next week, it's supposed to be in the mid-70s in San Luis Five Cities area, and approximately the same thing, you know, everywhere else. And so it's you know, we're still having cold nights. You know, not as bad. They're going to be in the 40s. Not as bad cold nights, but still cold nights. But it's no good. And you know, the people that operate, you know, there's no snow things except for some man-made snow working. You know, they had a chart, was it yesterday, they had the chart of how many feet of snow we had last year and how many we have this year? It was absurd. It was absolutely absurd. Here it is right here. No, let's see, 1989 we had no rain. 1999 we had 0.08 inches. 1963 we had 0.15 inches. 2011 we had 18 one-hundredths of an inch. And that's all we've had so far. In 1990, 0.43. So this is a bad year. I mean, it's one of the bad years. It's just not good. Well, you're probably aware of that. And again, I'm telling you, the plants, I don't know whether to get the gardener or vegans to say, tell me what to do with these things. So I went out the other day and I watered everything, which I haven't done in weeks because I figured, okay, everything's dormant. You know, it's winter time, but they're not dormant. I have things that are blooming. They're, you know, fresh blooms. The poor plants don't know what season it is. And I have a feeling I'm going to be the one that suffers for that. Yeah, they just go about their lives just doing whatever they do, you know. Plants. Animals, too, for that matter. But that's the way it is. All right. By the way, our float name is Superhuman Effort. It's got the superheroes and everything. And it's got the Golden Gate Bridge. And it's got, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool. Other things that are going on. Other things that happen. Who's in the news? Casey Kahane, the race car driver. You know, some of these famous people, I don't quite understand their thing. You know, they get on Facebook or whatever, you know, or they get on Twitter, and they say some of the darndest things, you know, and then when everybody all of a sudden tweets them back and says, what, are you an idiot? Because they were. They said something really stupid. You know, then they have to apologize. I didn't mean that. Well, yeah, you did. That's what you said. It's not like it's a secret. You can go back and see what you said. Well, if you said it, you must have meant it when you said it. So what are you talking about now? So here he said he saw a woman breastfeeding. Where was it? In a restaurant? At the airport? Where was it again? Let me get this. Let me tell you where. He saw a mother breastfeeding a child in a supermarket. He called it nasty, saying he didn't feel like shopping anymore or eating. So then, when everybody said, what are you, crazy? So here's what he then said. Are you ready for this? On his Facebook page, he said this. He said it wasn't his intention to offend any mother who chooses to breastfeed her child, or for that matter, anyone who supports breastfeeding children. I want to make that clear. That's not what he said before. He wasn't making it clear. He was being an idiot. Okay. Then you have to ask yourself, really, how much weight should a race car driver have when it comes to whether or not women breastfeed their children? None. None, do you hear me? None, I say. The Times Square Alliance throws a handful of confetti from the stories. I saw this on the news, and they threw some confetti to make sure it was going to disperse correctly, I guess, because on New Year's, they drop a whole ton. Now, I'm under the impression that they just drop it kind of like all at once. And so, it seems to be a funny way to do it. You know, you'd think they'd blow it out of cannons or something like they do fireworks. They'll blow it out of tubes or something. You know, but what if a handful reacts one way, but a whole ton of it stuck together reacts a whole other way? Yeah, that's why I'm not going to Times Square this year. That's why I'm not going. Because of a ton of stuff might fall in my head. kid. Okay. Well, other people in the news. Here's the story. They've got the story today in the news. 2-year-old male trotted more than 750 miles across Oregon before heading south, and he made a historic crossing to California. We are porous borders to our north. You thought south was San Diego and all that was bad. San Ysidro. To the north, the borders are porous and the wolves are coming in. They've always scared the crap out of me. Since I was a little boy and had nightmares about it. Because that's how I watched Peter and the Wolf when I was a little boy, and I had nightmares. I had nightmares about the dang wolves, and so now I have a hard time dealing with it. I don't mind telling you that. You know what I'm saying? You know, we all got psychological problems. That's mine right there, the big bad wolf. Other things going on. Americans are ready to say goodbye to 2011. Yeah, see you later. Yeah, you've been a pain in the butt. By the way, on the Weather Channel, they're going to have the year of the tornado. They're going to have a thing. I think it's 8 o'clock tonight. And I know you're saying, Bill, the Weather Channel, are you getting real? Are you serious? The Weather Channel? Yeah. Yeah, because they really know how to dramatize the weather. That's what they do for a living is weather. So they're better at dramatizing weather than anybody else in the whole wide world. You know, they really know how to really sock it to you when it comes to the weather. So anyway, so they're going to do a thing on the tornadoes we have this year, which were pretty bad. All right, I think we're saying goodbye to 2011. That's it. We're done. We're fed up with 2011. This hasn't been that much fun. Bad stuff has happened, bad things and bad stuff. Although only 10 people were sent to death row this year, moratorium on executions may be pushing prosecutors to instead seek life sentences. Do you think? Do you think? Okay. Now we find out how much it costs us to do all these things, you know. Do you think? No chance the 9/11 Museum will open on time. Foundation and Port Authority are fighting over who owes whom and how much. That's special. That's so special. And, you know, I haven't seen a lot of film footage. I call it film. It's not film, really. But I have video. I haven't seen that much video footage of it, but it looks quite remarkable, that memorial with the water pouring down the sides and all that. That looks pretty nifty. The memorial is nifty. What it's for is not, of course. Please don't misunderstand, because I don't want to have to be going on Facebook or Twitter or something, because I didn't do on those, and say I didn't really mean that. I didn't mean it. I just meant to say I thought the way they did it was very nice. Business, labor, and public officials fear expansion of the Panama Canal could cut cargo by a quarter at the twin Los Angeles Long Beach ports. Now, this is interesting. You know, you think to yourself, but here's the interesting thing. For the longest time, ships were all designed, ship sizes were designed to fit through the Panama Canal. That's, you know, most ships, you know, the ocean-going ships, cruise ships were designed so they could fit through the Panama Canal. And not by much. I've been through the Panama Canal on a cruise ship, and they scuffy up the side, something ferocious. And at the moment they get out of that canal, they got people over the side painting and carrying on and making sure the ship looks okay again. But, I mean, you're talking about two, three feet on either side. I'm not exaggerating. That's how little room there was to put on this cruise ship we were on to get through the Panama Canal. So then they said, okay, because of the Panama Canal back then when they built it back there with Teddy Roosevelt there, those were big ships. If you were that big, you were huge as a ship. So they figured, okay, well, hell, you're never going to get bigger than that, is it? Yeah. So to be exact, they say the biggest ships that can squeeze through the Panama Canal now carry 44,000 to 5,000 containers. The widening project will allow ships with 12,600 containers. It's over twice as much. These are going to be big ships. And so then, see, here's what they did. So then the cruise companies started saying, well, okay, what if we want to build a bigger ship that won't fit through the Panama Canal? So they said, okay, why don't we build ships that stay on the east side of the Panama Canal? We'll build ships that are only on the west side of the Panama Canal. That made sense. That made sense. And that's what they've done. They built these towering, insane, huge things that they don't even look like ships anymore. They just look like a big hotel, big square building on top of a hull. And that's what they send everybody out there and try to sell them trinkets and whatnot. They do pretty well at that, too, by the way. Okay. So that's it right there. Panama Canal is going to change. So what they're saying that Long Beach and L.A., but the ships used to stop. You know, they used to come into the port there. That's where they went. But now they can just keep on going. They just go through, you know, and they just keep on going to Asia. I would still, I still think someone, maybe the city, Port of Los Angeles or Long Beach, could ask the Panamanians if we could put a service station right at the end of the canal.
At Flooring Discount Center's new location in Morro Bay, you'll have four times the floor space to browse and find even better deals than before. Flooring Discount Center has prices that are 30 to 50% off normal retail pricing and a vast array of mid-range to high-end flooring, hardwood and bamboo, laminate, vinyl, porcelain and ceramic tile, wool and conventional carpeting, core and seagrass, wood and faux shutters. With the holidays here, you want your home to look fantastic and get the best price to boot. With over 23 years in the flooring business, owner Ethan Pettinger is the person to take care of all your flooring questions, problems, and needs. If the name sounds familiar, it's because the Pettinger family is known for their many years at Scrubby and Lloyd's Cafe in San Luis Obispo. Their little hole-in-the-wall cafe make the best burgers in town, so you know you can trust them to give you the quality and price of a lifetime. Look at over 4,500 samples and marvel at the selection. So if carpet or flooring is what you need, come on in to the new location of Flooring Discount Center, Harbor and Morro Bay Boulevard in Morro Bay.
What's your New Year's resolution? If it's a goal to be healthier, then the new Medical Arts Center at Twin Cities Hospital can help. Get your body on the right track this new year at their brand new primary care facility. The experienced physicians and nurses at the Medical Arts Center look forward to helping you achieve your healthy goals for 2012. From the Twin Cities Hospital family to yours, we wish you a joyous holiday season and a healthy new year.
During this time of celebration, we at eLegal Services, Inc. turn to our clients with warm appreciation. eLegal Services would like to take this time to thank the local law firms for the support that has made our progress possible this year. It is this time of year that we reflect on everything we hold special, family, the Central Coast, and the wonderful relationships we treasure. Whether you celebrate Christmas season or Hanukkah, we wish you the best. And here's to a happy new year from eLegal Services, Inc.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year? New Year's Eve. Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing, New Year's, New Year's Eve? Oh, but in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing, New Year's Eve?
I'm a soda pop right there. What are you doing, New Year's Eve? We got that coming up, by the way, and so we're going to help you have a good one, but we're not done yet. We're not done yet, but we hope you have a good one anyway. Yeah, things are going on here in our world. We have about 20 minutes or so, and so let's talk about what's going on. You know the wayward whale up there in Klamath that went up the river backwards and everything and hung out in the river, in the Klamath River? So it died, and lots of well-wishers along. It had a skin that shouldn't have never been in fresh water. I didn't know this would happen to a whale, but I guess if you stop and think about it, it got all slimy and weird. The whale called Mama by locals garnered national media attention when she entered the river with her calf on June 24th, paramigrating north with other gray whales when they made their unexpected foray upriver. 3 weeks later, the calf made it back to the Pacific Ocean, but Mom stayed behind and died a horrible death. I don't know how horrible it was, I'm just telling you. Okay. Blue Shield of California says it's agreed to pay $2 million to settle a lawsuit with the city of L.A. that alleged that the provider wrongly dropped policyholders after they became ill and unfair business practices. So here's the idea. So we're going to insure you until you actually need us. And the moment you need us, then we're going to drop you. Okay, that seems fair, doesn't it? Yeah, sure. Fair enough with that. Okay. This is too bad. North Korea warned rival South Korea and the rest of the world today not to expect any changes after Kim Jong-il's death. Did you see the pictures? This is an army waiting to happen. That's what North Korea is. North Korea is an army waiting to happen. It's the fifth largest army in the world. Of course, it's the only way, if you're a male, I guess they have females too. It's the only way you're going to get to eat is to join the service. So I guess that's the way that works anyway. Samoa is skipping today to switch time zones, which is kind of unusual. The Pacific Island nation of Samoa and its even tinier neighbor Tokelau, am I saying that right? Tokelau, are skipping today, this week, jumping westward into the international dateline and the shifting economic balance of the 21st century. Time change is meant to align Samoa with its Asian trading partners. It moves the island's work days further from the United States, which dominated its economy in the past. So fine, whatever you're going to do, yeah, go ahead, whatever. Yeah, fine. Now, here was an interesting thing here, and I got to tell you, you're going to say, Bill, that's because you don't fly. You'll come down the side of TSA because you don't fly. You don't go to the airport. You don't even wave goodbye. It's just true. But actually, it makes sense, and it kind of makes sense in a way. And so here's what the deal is. I guess when you go through the scanner darkly, then you have to take out your pocket change. You put a little thingy there. Well, people are always in like a hurry. Things are behind the tickets. Everybody, the planes are late. Things always are all screwed up at the airport. I know that. And so people leave the change behind. They just out of kind of care. You know what I mean? Just get me out of here. So then the TSA has been taking the money to fund itself. And they're figuring right now it is, let me tell you how much it is. They have some idea here. Where is it again? $376,480.39 to the penny. Is there somebody keeping track of something that well in this country ever? Okay, $376,500. So they've collected that. They've been using it themselves. So now somebody's put in. Now, you know, you're going to say, Bill, you're not going to disagree with this, are you? And that's the Representative Jeff Miller of Florida says we should give the money to the USO for its airport programs in support of the military. USO, whose mission is to lift the spirits of American troops and their families, is a nonprofit, congressionally chartered private organization. And I'll say this again. I give money to the USO. I don't give a lot. I don't have a lot of money to give, but I give what I can to the USO every year. And because it's my way of saying thank you for the time that I was in the service and they were there. They weren't everywhere I was, I can tell you that. But were and whenever I was where they were, and I used their services, they were always very nice. So anyway, so that's the deal right there. So I can understand why somebody might say, well, why don't we give it to the USO, which is a nice thought and everything. But if it, so here's the question. Here's the age-old question. Here's what we were talking to Karen about today. So, okay, let's say they take in $376,000 extra dollars. They'd have extra dollars. What is it they do with the $376,000 extra dollars? It's not just do they have it and they use it. What do they use it for? Do they use it for a Christmas party? Do they use it to buy new scanners? What do they use it for? Rubber gloves, you know? They're big on the TSA line. Something. Right there, something. That's what I'm saying. All right. I wouldn't mind going to the USO, but I understand why they say, well, why don't we just use it? But I don't know what they use it for. That's the problem. All right, no problem. Oh, let me look at sports. Here's the games. Here's the games that are going on this weekend. So here's your last football game of the regular season, last football games. And these are on Sunday. So you have San Francisco 49ers and the St. Louis Rams. It's going to be a pathetically terrible game because the Rams can't play football anymore and the 49ers are doing really well. New York Jets and Miami Dolphins, if you not just want to watch the 49ers kill the Rams just for the fun of it, then it would. We got these teams that are 8-7 and 7-8 type thing, which the Jets and Miami Dolphins are, so there you go. Got San Diego Chargers, Oakland Raiders, same kind of situation. Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals, forget that. Arizona Cardinals have won two games. That's like watching the 49ers play the Rams. But it just depends on your nature. You say, I'd like to see a game that could actually be pretty close. Even though it's not going to amount to a hill of beans in the playoff, it's not going to matter. But, you know, I'd like to just watch a game that might be pretty close. Then you have those choices. Or you have the choice of total domination. Yeah, you'll figure out what kind of mood you're going to send. And at 5:05, the Cowboys and the New York Giants, it should be another good game because they're both equally suckish. So that's good. All right, so that's all I was going to bring up with the sports today. That was my sports report for today. And Monday, because Josh, you know, is not here, of course. We're not going to be here Monday either. I'm here. Now, here's what should happen on Monday, and I don't know what's going on. If you go to calcoastnews.com and you click on Talk is Cheap, you see this pathetic biography of Bill Benica. And then it says, click here and listen. And you can listen to KYNS anytime, day or night. And so it's streaming. First you hear a commercial for, who is that again? Somebody here. First there's a commercial. And then you hear the stream. Now, here's what we decided to do. I didn't decide to do this, but somebody else did. They said, okay, Bill, as long as you're going to be involved with Calcoast News and all this, we'll put you record your show every day, which I do. Record your show every day on this computer. So one thing I know how to do on the computer, you know, but I don't know how to get it back off. If I had to, I don't know how to get it back off, but I can get it on. So record it every day on the computer, and then we'll put podcasts together, which means it's they'll use 50. Let's see if I get this right, because I had to tell the other guy how to do it. 54 minutes, because there'll be new news all the time. 54 minutes of other programming as you've already done. Now, I'm not sure why you'd want to listen to that, but anyway, it's nice that they asked. So for some reason, and then Karen was going to ask her computer guy, because I don't have an answer to this, and Tom, the engineer here, doesn't have Major Tom. Major Tom has sent these recordings over to whoever their computer guy is, but there hasn't been anything posted since November 1st. And I have people that are upset at me. They're calling me and emailing me and whatnot, saying, where are these shows? I don't know. I don't know what's happened to them. Karen's going to see if she can find out. So I supposedly on Monday, that's what will be there. I don't know what day. I don't know. Is that right? What did I get wrong? Wait. What did I get wrong? Sit down. What did I get wrong? Major Tom,
I mean, I only listened to the last one. I actually have a partial answer or a possible answer to why the shows weren't.
Yes.
We're using a third party because of the length of the shows.
Right.
So I have to send them to a third party, a website, outside website. Then they notify the Calcoast News admin person that the files are there to download, and they download them.
Because it might be a he, might it?
Well, the one gentleman I talked to is a he.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm not sure if there's anybody else involved, so I don't want to,
I've never heard anybody try to be so politically correct over such a simple thing. That's very nice. Time. Okay, he could be transgender, I understand.
Sorry. But there appeared to have been a delay, because what happens is I upload the files, then this third-party website notifies the Calcoast News person that the files are there to download, and they have to download them. There apparently was a delay, a long delay, from the time I uploaded
them. A delay? It's the end of December. This is November 1st.
I don't know who this third-party site is. This is actually somebody else that they, that we're dealing with. And so I'd have to take this call. Basically the answer is the files have been uploaded. I did just get notification that the admin person at Calcoast News has downloaded them, so they should be there.
Okay.
Momentarily.
All right. You better go take that call.
Okay.
You notice I don't carry a cell phone because I can't be having that. Somebody call in, talk to you. Oh, I can't have it. All right. So that's the deal right there. So I guess things are happening. Always, it seems a little bit slower for Bill than others, but happening nonetheless, which I think is very nice. So, anyway, so that's really cool. So, I'm looking forward to being a part of that right there. So that's Monday. That's what happened Monday. Now, there is a thing I told you. There's a little bit of a gap because what happened was we were trying to record a certain way to make it easier to send to this third party, so a smaller file, and it turned out that the quality was bad. So they said, okay, we're going to eliminate a few shows when you first tried to do that. It wasn't my idea to try to do it that way, but I don't know. I don't understand those numbers. Somebody else put it in. Anyway, so then, Tom was in Hawaii for a week. And I guess, though, I can't believe I recorded those shows, but I guess they just dumped them. All right, that's what's happening behind the scenes here. That's what's happening behind the scenes. You can't hardly be a kid. No, Billy, you can't. Okay. All right. I understand the Tribune now. You have to sign up to read the Tribune on the internet. I just got that word that you have to. Now, I used to have to do it with the New York Times. This is what's kind of weird. Now, the New York Times is a pretty big paper, and so I used to have a special download, have a password, the whole thing, in order to read the New York Times. And then they gave it up. They just decided the people were just getting torqued off, and it wasn't working out for them. And so, here's what people are starting to realize, is that, let's say the New York Times. I'm not going to go out and buy a New York Times here in San Luis Obispo, California. I'm not going to go buy one. I'm just not going to. Now, somebody here may buy the L.A. Times, or they may get the Chronicle, maybe. But they're not going to get the New York Times, chances are. It's going to be 2 days late when you get anyway. So the thing they're beginning to realize is that, so now if people find it too hard to read it on the Internet, they're not going to buy it. And so people are just going to ignore the New York Times. And I didn't. I went through all the problems. I haven't looked it up. But most people don't have to do that or won't do that. So they finally realize, well, wait, it's our best interest to, let's say they get a JCPenney's ad. Well, then everybody across the whole country sees the JCPenney's ad. So that benefits them. It's the same as this streaming we're talking about with the podcast and everything. I think I've told you this story, but real quick, I'll tell you again. What happened was is people started to stream talk shows and whatnot and all kinds of other radio shows. They started streaming. Well, then the people, ABC, NBC, CBS, all these people, Associated Press, all these people, got together and said, wait a minute. We didn't give you permission to rebroadcast our newscast. And so the people that were doing it said, but wait a minute. You look at the extra value you're getting. We rebroadcast your newscast, and the sponsors of your newscast now get to have all kinds of people hear it they didn't have to pay for. They're like, we don't like that idea. So they got together, and they made some kind of a cabal, and they decided, okay, this is what you're going to have to pay. The amount of money you had to pay was so extraordinarily exorbitant that only a few stations in the whole country could afford it. The really big stations in L.A., Chicago, New York, et cetera. So that's the way it was for a while. Everybody had to stop podcast. Everybody had to stop streaming. And then somebody with a brain got in there and said, not only is it in our best interest to have other people stream this and have the sponsors have it heard? It's in the sponsors' best interest, obviously, and therefore, maybe we can make some extra dough on the deal. So that's how it goes. Reactionaries, I tell you. So in every business, you got them. Shops see increased wine sales over 2010, which is really good news because, it's a bum year. But mostly what we're finding out, though, is that even if a restaurant itself is having some trouble, but they have a bar, the bar seems to be doing fine. People are washing away their problems. Washing away their problems. So anyway, wine sales are up, and that's good news. Here they had some pictures of the new year, and here's one here. Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Warren Addison kisses a flag during the Memorial Day ceremony in Pismo Beach. And what a nice man he is, by the way, too, Warren Addison. That's a big deal. A sergeant, a master sergeant there. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Other things are going on. Oh, so far, by the way, and I checked this yesterday on the internet, and then I didn't see anything. But so far, no Sears or Kmart stores in our area are being shut down. So far, I find it remarkable. As I said yesterday, but okay, so far, okay, all right. Then they had on Calcos News, they had the story about the woman who, she's supposed to be about to go to prison. She was going to turn herself in. I guess she wanted to take a walk first because she had an ankle bracelet on, you know, one of these monitoring bracelets. So I think before she went to the slammer, she decided, well, I should, you know, go ride my bike around the neighborhood or something. I don't know what she was thinking. But anyway, so she cut it off, and then that immediately notifies the police that something's wrong, and they immediately respond. And so they immediately responded, and so they responded so fast that she tried to get it back on, you know, and put, you know, use duct tape or something on it, you know. Like, you know, maybe it had been repaired. That didn't fly. But it doesn't matter. She's going to prison anyway. So, let's, so what? Okay. So, what the heck? And then here's one of those great stories about a chihuahua that was lost 5 years ago and went back to its owner. This was the best Christmas ever, they said. Ann and Craig Magnuson and their two teenage daughters were reunited 2 days before Christmas with a chihuahua they lost 5 years ago. The dog Taz showed up in the parking lot of the Berkeley Bowl supermarket in Berkeley last Friday, a bit dirty, disheveled. They'd been through a lot. Produce clerk asked longtime customers Dan and Kathy McMullen, who have a chihuahua of their own, to look after the dog. An hour as the couple took him to the Berkeley Animal Care Service, where a microchip scan revealed his true owner and their phone number. So they gave him a call and said, this is really great. And the doggy's home. Okay. It's a happy ending story. I have no problem with that at all. I like happy ending stories, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Anybody else? Anything else? Oh, well, we got some letters. So do we have time for these letters? Yeah, let's do some of this. All right. Here, Charles Krauthammer is saying, are we alone in the universe? As Lily Tomlin said, we're all in this alone. So I don't know what you have to decide. All right, here's a, this guy's tired of hearing these words. Don't use these words anymore on the Tribune. He's saying, kick the can down the road. I don't think they use that often, that one. Fragile economy. Marvin, we have a fragile economy. Tough decisions. You know, it depends on who, you know, for some people, these decisions are very tough. You know, to you, they might not be tough. To me, I might say, you know, this seems fairly obvious to me. But to some people that we entrust with making decisions, for them, they're tough. Crash and burn, which is, it's been around forever, crash and burn. It's a California term, actually, crash and burn, I believe. Job killer, alleged, Obamacare, youthful, and demographic. It's going to be hard not to use demographic. Okay. Gary Nemeth wrote a thing about Paso Robles City Council, and a manager is following the management style of Pelosi as witnessed in the recent sewer rates and water treatment jokes. This is apparently, this is showing his stripes as a Republican, but that's okay. And Gary, of course, a former city councilman in Paso and a former police sergeant in San Luis Obispo. Now, this was okay. This became a political statement, and so that kind of ruined it for me. But the original thought was good, Nicholas, from Kaimukas. I liked how you started. I just didn't like how you ended up. It was unnecessary. But judging from the Bob Cuddy Christmas column about the Occupy movement, he and the occupiers seem to think that they, the so-called 99%, have been under the thumb and robbed by the 1% who are very rich. Actually, most rich people got that way by inventing things that we all enjoy, starting businesses that give good jobs to multitudes, and creating the arts, science, sports, literature, and other things that enrich all of our lives. Think of Steve Jobs, Bob Dylan, Michael Jordan, Henry Ford, J.K. Rowling. I could go on and on. So I said, these people aren't holding any of their thumbs. Got a point. But the Occupy people are saying, well, okay, that's true, but you know, how come I'm making this and they're making that? I mean, it doesn't seem quite right. Because it's oftentimes, it's not the founder. If Henry Ford was still running the Ford Motor Company and they said, okay, Henry, we're going to pay you, you know, $500 million a year, I would think you would say to yourself, hell yeah, he found the dank. It's his company. It's his idea. The assembly line was his idea, so they should pay him pretty good, you know? But it's not. It's his grandson three times removed or whatever it is, you know? It's Edsel's grandson. You know how that went. So that's not right. That's not right to me. Oh, and then this is the most important letter of the year right here. I was going to look this guy. I have some. I listen to opera now. I know you're saying, Benneke, you do not. I do. I like opera. I like the fact that it's always about nonsensical things, and this beautiful music is about something that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, but so here it is right here. I was going to look it up and see if I had a copy of it. I didn't get a chance. Although this is from Gina. from Paso Robles. Although I'm usually not one to critique a newspaper letter, I am an ardent opera fan and must simply correct the author of the review of a choral performance, rather, at the Performing Arts Center of a tenor who sang Nessun Dorma by Verdi. This is incorrect. It was not by Verdi. It was written by Puccini. Important difference, I'd say.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah.
Thanks, Satchmo. Thank you, Satchmo. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, it's an interesting year, I'll say that. And so we get to start a new one on Monday. I shan't be here. A lot of people won't be where they're supposed to be on Monday because they have the day off. But we'll get together on Tuesday the 2nd. And that will be the Rose Parade then. On Monday. So until we get together next week, may all your trails be happy ones. Please get a designated driver, please, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.